KJAN Sports.
Time for a check of sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Our sports update is brought to you this morning by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. Well, checking sports, let's start with some high school volleyball play from around the area last night. In Hawkeye 10 conference play, it was Harlan downing Atlantic in three straight, 25-19, 25-21, and 25-10, the scores. Glenwood swept three from Shenandoah. Lewis Central took three out of four from Clarinda. It was Denison outlasting Creston 3-2. St. Albert beat Kemper Catholic 3-1. From the Western Iowa Conference, Riverside holding off AHSTW 3-2. It was Tri-Center, a 3-game sweep over Audubon. Trainer beating Logan Magnolia 3-1. Underwood, 3-game sweep over IKM Manning. In the Rolling Valley Conference, Boyer Valley defeating Cam 3-1. Coon Rapids Bayard over Peyton Sherdan 3-1. Arweva beat Woodbine 3-1. In the Pride of Iowa Conference, it was Lennox over East Union 2-0. Lennox beating Earlham 2-0. And East Union over Earlham 2-1. The Weekly Girls Athletic Union High School Volleyball Rankings came out yesterday afternoon. Take a quick look. In Class 1A, Holy Trinity Catholic is ranked number 1. Wapsie Valley and New London are 2 and 3. Coon Rapids Bayard is in at number 7. Council Bluffs St. Albert is 12. And East Mills is at number 15. In the 2A poll, Western Christian is number 1, followed by Dyke, New Hartford, and Wilton in the top 3. Underwood is in at number 6, and ACGC is ranked 15th this week. In Class 3A, Mount Vernon is top-rated with Osage and Clarion Goldfield Dows 2-3. Red Oak in at number 13. In Class 4A, Sergeant Bluff Luton top-rated. Cedar Rapids Xavier is number 2. Glenwood in at number 3. And Lewis Central is number 15 in this week's poll. And in Class 5A, Dowling Catholic, Ankeny, and Pleasant Valley are the top 3 rated squads this week. Take a look at cross-country results from last night. First, from the Southwest Valley Invitational on the girls' side, the team champion was Winterset with 32 points, Creston with 51 finishing second, Central Decatur, Red Oak, Southwest Valley, and East Union round out the six teams in the field. Individually, Braylon Baker of Creston was the champion, with McKenna Hogan of Lennox placing second. Paige Davis of Creston was third. Alexa McCunn of Red Oak placing fourth in that meet last evening. On the boys' side at that Southwest Valley Invitational, it was Winterset winning the team title with 45 points. Central Decatur was second, Red Oak third, West Nottoway, and then Riverside round out the top five teams in that meet. Individually, William Gillis of Central Decatur was the champion. Also, Baylor Bergren of Red Oak placing third, Creston's Clayton Stafford placing fourth in that meet last evening. Also at Panorama Cross Country Invitational last night, on the boys' side, it was Madrid winning the team title with 60 points. Earlham was 67, the runner-up. Des Moines Christian, Ogden, and ACGC the top five. Nottoway Valley in at number 6. IKM Manning was 7th in that meet yesterday. Jason Renz of Madrid was the individual champion. Tri-Center's Brett McGee placed 3rd. Also from IKM Manning, Quentin Dreyer was 9th, and ACGC's Trevin Sewer placing 10th in that meet. Toby Bauer of Nottoway Valley came in 11th in that meet last night on the boys' side. On the girls' side at Panorama last evening, it was Panorama winning the team title with 59 points. ACGC the runner-up. They had 95. Van Meter, Des Moines Christian, and Earlham the top 5. Nottoway Valley was 6. Clarinda 7. Kemper Catholic 8. Audubon was 9th. And Tri-Center 10th in that meet last night. Individually, Claire Kelly of Van Meter was the champ. Ella Waddle of Panorama placing 2nd. Riley Sloss of ACGC was 5th. Grace Slater of Audubon placing 6th. Panorama's Gwen Steffen was 7th. Also, Olivia Steffen of Panorama and Peyton Beckman of Panorama were 10th and 11th in that meet last night. Nottoway Valley's Sophia Broers was 12th. ACGC's Kirsten Kanabi placing 14th in that meet yesterday. Well, the Pac-12 university presidents and chancellors will meet today and be presented options for staging a fall football season, a day after the Big Ten changed course from its decision to postpone fall sports because of the pandemic and set a late October start for football. The Pac-12 appeared headed toward a similar move. However, Commissioner Larry Scott says a vote by the CEO group is not expected. The Mountain West is trying to do the same, and there is even some movement at the Mid-America Conference toward reconsidering a fall season. Also in college football news, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's office says her requirement that athletes have to wear masks applies to Big Ten football in Michigan. However, a face shield will suffice for players, and the administration is open to potentially changing the order. Her office said it will talk to the conference about the mandate, which covers organized sports in which athletes cannot keep distance except for occasional and fleeting moments. Also, Saturday's football game between number 12 North Carolina and Charlotte has been canceled after the 49ers announced that contact tracing had depleted their offensive line. Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta says sports and positions that were cut will not be reinstated, even though the football season will resume next month. Barta announced last month the school was eliminating men's and women's swimming, men's gymnastics, and men's tennis due to a projected deficit of around $75 million.
The position eliminations, the furloughs, the salary reductions, and including the four sports no longer continuing at Iowa, are all still in place, and those decisions won't change because the financial crisis is certainly still in play, and it's still going to be very, very significant.
Barta says daily testing of athletes and changes in travel will be costly, and the department will still be facing a catastrophic deficit.
And I say catastrophic because it led to people losing their jobs. It led to people taking pay cuts. It led to student athletes in four sports after this year not having an opportunity. And unfortunately, that's still going to be the case. It will be better, but far from relief.
Barta says while the financial hit won't be as big, it will still be significant. National tournaments will have fewer teams and fewer sites for preliminary rounds under the NCAA Division I Council's proposal for fall sports that were pushed to the spring because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Council approved recommendations from the Spring Sports Competition Committees on Wednesday and will forward them to the Division I Board of Governors for approval. For team sports, the field for national tournaments will be reduced to 75% of the normal number of teams. The structure of how college basketball will be played during the coronavirus pandemic is unclear, but leaders in Des Moines may push for the city to serve as a bubble site if that option is chosen. The Des Moines Register reports that leaders are discussing inviting college basketball teams to play early season games at Wells Fargo Arena. The NCAA basketball season start date is November 25th. The bubble format is currently being used by the NBA. The NCAA has had recent experience with Des Moines, which hosted first and second round games for the 2016 and 2019 men's Division I tournaments. Well, the Cleveland Browns have picked up their first win under new coach Kevin Stefanski. The Nick Chubb ran for 124 yards and two touchdowns as the Browns outscored the Bengals 35-30 last night. Baker Mayfield threw two TDs, including a 43-yarder to Odell Beckham Jr. Bengals quarterback and number one overall pick Joe Burrow threw three touchdown passes and showed incredible poise in just his second game. His third scoring strike was a 9-yarder to Tyler Boyd with 43 seconds left, getting Cincinnati within five before Cleveland recovered the ensuing onside kick. Health officials are telling 10 fans who attended last week's Kansas City Chiefs game to quarantine after one fan tested positive for COVID-19. Kansas City health officials announced Thursday that a fan who watched the game from a group's box tested positive the next day. The group was seated in the lower level of the stadium. The Titans won't have fans at their home opener Sunday against Jacksonville, but that will change in October and increase with each of their next three home games. Nashville Mayor John Cooper announced Thursday the Titans will be able to have up to 10% of capacity at Nissan Stadium, or about 7,000 fans on October 4th against Pittsburgh. Well, the Pittsburgh Pirates' 8-game losing streak is over after Stephen Brault pitched a two-hitter for his first career complete game to lead the Pirates 5-1 win over the Cardinals in the game we had for you here on the radio last night. Gregory Polanco hit a 3-run homer against St. Louis, which dropped to third place in the National League Central, 6.5 games back of the division-leading Cubs. Also, the White Sox beat the Twins 4-3, Yankees over the Blue Jays 10-7, the Rays swept a pair from the Orioles 3-1 and 10-6, Astros beat the Rangers 2-1, Indians 10-3 over the Tigers, the Angels beat the Diamondbacks 7-3, Dodgers 9-3 over the Rockies, the Red Sox beat the Marlins 5-3, it was the Mets over the Phillies 10-6, Giants beat the Mariners by a 6-4 final score. The Mariners' upcoming series against the Padres has been relocated to San Diego due to air quality concerns in the Seattle area. Seattle will be the home team for all three games of that series that begins tonight. With the move, the Mariners have three home games remaining on their schedule beginning next Monday against Houston. Wingfoot is usually an untamable beast for golfers at the U.S. Open. That hasn't been the case so far, as a handful of golfers went into the clubhouse at 3-under par or better in the opening round. With soft conditions for the start of the major, Justin Thomas shot a 65 for the lowest round ever in a U.S. Open at the Westchester County, New York course. Thomas finished with a 25-foot birdie putt for a one-shot lead over Matthew Wolff, Patrick Reed, and Thomas Peters. Play was suspended by darkness with three players still on the course. Rory McIlroy, Louis Oosthuizen, and Lee Westwood are two off the pace. Only two players have finished under par there in five previous Opens at Wingfoot, Fuzzy Zeller and Greg Norman. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.